Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, appraisers. So today I wanted to talk with you about expert witness appraisal work and how you prepare for that. So earlier today I had a trial and I need to testify about some appraisals that I did. So it's very rare that I go to court, maybe two times a year. About 30% of my business is, you know, divorce related, and most of them always settle, 99% of them. So I testified back in February. We're in October now, at the end of October, and today I testified for the second time this year. So all in all, I may have testified maybe, a dozen and a half times in court, and every time gets a little easier. Today I wanted to talk with you about, you know, what you should expect, the process, and, you know, what it entails. First things first, if you're doing non-lender work and private work, you have to expect to go to a court and testify. You have to prepare your work file and your appraisal as if you're going to go to court, because even though stuff, 99% of stuff may settle, it's those a couple times a year that you need to be prepared for. And what I found is really important is having an engagement letter. On every private assignment, I use an engagement letter. If you need a copy, you can send me a message, but I have a copy in the resource section at referappraisal.com. It's the same engagement letter I use on every appraisal. So I have two paragraphs about expert witness work, and I'm going to go to that right now. You know, testimony related to this assignment, appraisal, and real property, and it goes into details. Like my rate for this assignment, I charged $300 or for this expert witness work, it was $300 an hour, $1,200 retainer, but my updated engagement letter is a little higher. It includes travel time, deposition and or court appearance time, court testimony, waiting time, and we bill in 15-minute increments, and then any expenses related to testimony as well, like if you need to create some sort of charts, printing, photocopying, anything like that. It's just an additional section. I never charged expenses ever before, but it's just in my engagement letter. One good tip is when you have a trial coming up or you need to go to a hearing, something like that, I always wait till the last minute to prepare. Not because I'm a procrastinator, because, again, 99% of the cases settle. So I don't like doing work and actually charging a client when the case settles. So I'll wait till the last minute. For example, this one, I told the client that I'll collect the retainer on Friday. And the trial was Monday. Typically, I say in my engagement letter, I'll collect it 2 weeks before. But this one, I thought it would settle. It didn't settle. So I waited till the last minute, and I let them know that a couple weeks ago when they're like, hey, you know, we need to pay you for the upcoming trial. I was notified by the attorney a couple months ago that this date was set, and I assumed it would settle, but it didn't. So I told the client that I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll just wait till the last minute. I'll wait till the Friday before to collect. And that's when I actually, waited till as soon as I collected before I started working on the file, basically. On that Friday, I contacted the attorney. I said, hey, let me know if you have prepared any questions or if you want to talk about anything or what you want me to bring to the courthouse, because every appraiser is different. or every attorney is different. So I have one attorney who asked me to bring multiple copies of the appraisal, one for the opposing counsel, one for her, one for the court, and then one for myself to review, you know, during the testimony. So you need to ask the attorney if they want you to bring anything. But at a minimum, you need to bring a copy of the appraisal you completed. I always bring a copy of my CV. Basic information about the property that may not be included in the appraisal, like its tax record or maybe your on-site inspection, what you recorded, your notes. I always bring that. Do not bring your work file unless you're told to. This is not a deposition where they may request your entire work file. Don't bring your whole appraisal work file. You don't want to get bogged down during testimony, flipping through stuff. That's not going to be good for you. So it's important just that you bring your appraisal and you can reference any point you need to from that appraisal. On the day of the trial, arrive early. This one was at 1:30 in the afternoon. The attorney asked me to be there at 1:15. I arrived there at 1 o'clock. I left a little early from the house to, you know, account for any traffic and then also checking in at the courthouse. It's like the airport. You need to take your belt off, everything out of your pockets. You need to take off your jacket and it all goes through the metal detector. So that there could be delays there if there's a wait. So then you show up there. This happens to be on the 11th floor. It's the Broward County Courthouse. Family law stuff's on the 11th floor. And it's just a big hallway with benches outside of each courtroom. And it's just like, it's almost like a school. Just there's different classrooms, but they're trial rooms. And then inside the trial room, Dan, 560, edit 560. So you go into the courtroom, you have the bailiff there, and then you have a couple of rows of seating, and then you have, you know, the client that hired you, the one of the spouses getting divorced, the attorney, and then the next side you have the opposing counsel, and then this one happened to be the husband, and then at the front of the courtroom, you have the judge up there. She's elevated. And then we had a court reporter as well. And then I think there's another associate back there or something like that. So it's nothing to be intimidated about. It's just almost like a classroom with some space to seating. And you testify, you know, right between basically the attorneys and the judge. That's where the seat normally is. When you get there, into the courtroom, you have to take your oath. You know, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You raise your hand, then you give, you know, your full name, you spell your full name. So going back to, you know, when I go to the courthouse, I set a jacket. I always wear a suit and I wear a name tag with, you know, Dan Lindemann and then Empire Appraisal Group, because I want to appear professional. And plus I may run into people waiting outside the courtroom. And I've done that before where attorneys that have hired me, I've either seen them, said hi or whatever, but also they've introduced me to other attorneys as well that happen to be there that they're friendly with. So it's an opportunity to network and actually get more business. I've met an attorney there who's given me thousands and thousands of in business just from meeting up at the courthouse. So when you get in there and on the stand, the attorney that hired you or his client, that attorney is going to go first and they're going to try and qualify you as an expert witness. And they do that by asking a series of questions like, you know, how long you've been an appraiser, you know, are you licensed by the state? Lots of different questions. Do you belong to any associations? You know, have you been published? Stuff like that. They ask a bunch of questions to qualify you as an expert witness. This court, however, I've been an expert witness multiple times in this court. So when I was talking with the attorney beforehand outside of the courtroom, we were waiting. It was 15 minutes behind schedule. And I was just bullshitting with the attorney and going through, you know, what he was going to ask me, which he gave me earlier that day at like 8 o'clock in the morning. He gave me his list of questions. Every attorney is different. Some like to prepare way beforehand. Other attorneys, you know, you go with the flow. If they don't give you questions until the last minute, they don't give you questions until the last minute. There's nothing you can do. So I'm just bullshitting with the attorney. And he saw that I brought my CV. And his list of questions had 18 qualifying questions, which was a ton. And I'm like, why are you asking so many questions? That seems like a lot. He's like, oh, no, it's not a lot. I just want to make sure they're qualified you, or they qualify you as an expert. I'm like, well, I've been an expert in this court before, too. And I think he knew that. But anyways, he saw my CV that I brought, and he's like, all right, give me 1 minute. He walked to the opposing counsel. He showed the opposing counsel my CV and asked if the opposing counsel had any objection to me as a witness. And he came back. He's like, all right, no problem. The other side will stipulate that you're an expert witness. So when I was on the stand, there wasn't 18 questions that he asked me. It was a couple of basic questions. You know, what do I am? Am I an appraiser? You know, how long have I been in business? How many appraisals I've done? And I always keep a record. Like, I've done lots and lots of appraisals, maybe 400 to 500 a year over the past 20 plus years. So I've done 10,000 plus appraisals. So I always like to say that I've done a lot, because it lends your credibility, you know, with the judge. But the fact that I brought my CV, it limited that. So the opposing counsel, you know, didn't have to, we didn't have to have all of those questions. And one thing I like to, when I first started out, by no means am I an expert. Please don't take this as me as an expert about testifying in court. I'm just telling you about my experience, you know, after doing it 12, 18 times, whatever it is. I'm just giving you my experiences about this. And one thing I've learned is, it took me a while to learn this, actually, that I am the expert. Literally, you're called an expert witness, but I never felt like I was an expert. But when I realized I always thought attorneys knew about the appraisal process or had this, you know, these gotcha questions, but they don't know anything about the appraisal process. Nobody in that courtroom does. I'm the only expert. And when I started to realize that, and that's when I started to almost perform better as an expert witness, because all I'm doing is trying to explain the process to the people in the courtroom. They're asked, both attorneys ask, you know, pretty basic questions. Again, there hasn't been any gotcha questions that I haven't been able to, you know, answer. And they're easy stuff. Like the attorney that the wife that hired me, her attorney asked me questions like, you know, one, the three appraisals I completed for this property. He asked me the dates that I did them, my opinion of value, so they can enter it into evidence. And then he asked me questions that I just read some of the answers from the appraisal. Like, he asked me about the quality of the and condition of the property. I literally read from that addendum in my appraisal, and I went into detail. I'm like, oh yeah, because my addendum does, like, the roof was replaced this age, you know, the permit says this time, you know, the kitchen was original, flooring was original. And I go into detail, you know, kitchens, floorings, bathroom, windows. I mention all the stuff in there. So I just read from my appraisal for that one. And then he asked questions. He's like, did you, you know, use sales from the neighborhood? Yes. Did you adjust those sales? Yes. And I always, when they ask a simple question, I don't go into detail. I just answer the question. That's another tip. You just answer the question. Don't go into other details. Like, if I'm just in there saying yes and no the entire time, that's awesome. People get into trouble, I think, when they start over explaining stuff. So you need to try, just answer the question. Don't go into any other detail unless they ask you to. Yeah, stay concise. That's one of the probably biggest tips. And I like to listen to the question and pause. You know, when you're being questioned by the opposing counsel, you always pause in case the other attorney has an objection. And you don't want to rush through it. You just want to think about what they say, pause, and give an eloquent response. Or yes, no, whatever questions they have. In this case, the opposing counsel had questions about, you know, if I was back in the house in 2015 and the tile floor was new, would that have impacted anything? And this was an easy question. I'm like, no, it wouldn't, because the home had so much deferred maintenance. Replacing a tile floor was the least of its problems to increase the value. So in this case, I did three appraisals. You know, it was a divorce. I did an appraisal as of the date of marriage, the current value, and then as of the date she inherited it. And in the state of Florida, there's different calculations, and a spouse is entitled to a portion of the property if they've contributed any income to the property, and then they're entitled to a certain portion of the passive and active appreciation. There's a whole formula that's done by a forensic accountant to come up with, you know, what one spouse is entitled to if they had the property before marriage or inherited it, if marital funds were involved. I don't do that calculation. I just provide the values for the forensic accountant to do that, those calculations. In this case, there was no analysis for that because they're trying to argue that the husband had no, you know, was entitled to nothing. And he put in a tile floor in one of the smallest bathrooms and left everything else in there. And they were trying to say, since he put in a, you know, $500 tile floor, that that increased the value, you know, $200,000 over the course of their marriage. When in fact, the property had so much going on, that tile floor was the least of the problems. So, and I just testified to that because it was, you know, the facts. And I reported that correctly in the appraisal. And it's important, just, you're there just to support your appraisal. You're not there to help your side win or help the other side lose. It doesn't matter. My only goal is just to go in there, support my appraisals and tell them what I did and how I did it. So another thing I like to do is preparing for the trial is I always memorize the appraisal process, the six steps to the appraisal process, you know, defining the problem, determining the scope of work needed, collecting data, analyze data, determine the approaches to value, reconcile, come up with an opinion of value, and report the results. Because that's usually a question I ask is, how did you come up with your opinion of value? In this case, the attorney never asked me that question, but I always like to be prepared for that and have it like a nice, concise answer, because as long as the judge can understand what you did and how you did it, they're more apt to agree with you. If you go into a long jargon about this and that and all these different things about the appraisal process, you're going to get lost. You're just one little aspect of this trial going on over the course of a couple of days. You're just here for 20 minutes. So it's important to, you know, kind of dumb it down and make it as simple as possible, at least in my opinion. And also, in this case, the questions were very easy from both attorneys. It may be one of the easiest ones, the easiest trials I've done. They were just like spoon-fed answers, like, it was just very easy, this trial. So I was nervous beforehand and had anxiety the day before and then driving to the trial. So granted, it was a lot less anxious than when I first started, but I still have anxiety about it. And I don't know if that'll ever go away. Maybe it shouldn't go away. Maybe you should always be a little anxious. But for me, I was anxious going into the trial. But I prepared. I spent a couple hours reviewing the reports and printing them out and having everything ready and taking them into the court. And then just, you know, as I was waiting, just refreshing my mind and you know, thinking about responses. But at the end of the day, I just was on the stand 20 minutes. It was over probably 4 to 5 hours of work or billable hours just for 20 minutes of testimony. I'm not charging the client more money. I collected a 4-hour retainer. I don't do that. I give some grace because I kind of don't like traveling, paying for travel time. That seems really petty to me, but I put it in there just in case maybe I don't, in case it's going to be more difficult than it is and I want to travel for, and I want to get paid for my travel time and wait time. But whatever you decide you're going to do, if you live closer to the courthouse, it may not even matter, but I always like to have that in the engagement letter and use it if I need to. But in this case, listen, I put in a lot. I put in more than 4 hours getting ready for it and stuff. So I just billed for the 4 hours and I feel bad for these clients, not the, going to trial because they're the only ones losing. Like both sides are spending all of this money on their attorneys and all these expert witnesses. And they probably should have tried to settle more. I don't really know, but that's why I don't really like going to trials, because the only people who benefit are the attorneys and the expert people who are hired to be there. When stuff should have settled. And I don't like that, but maybe that's just me. But at any rate, that's my latest experience with expert witness testimony. If you want to learn more about private work and, you know, expert witness testimony, what happens when you get served a subpoena, stuff like that, there's an education section. Granted, it's a monthly fee for referappraisal.com, but you can learn about all these little lessons and, you know, how to grow your appraisal business, marketing, networking, stuff like that. And lessons like this on what to do when you get called as an expert witness if you've never done it before. And I hope you have found some tips, you know, in this podcast, and it could help you moving forward. But appraisers, get out there, capture more private work, but always be ready to go to court. All right, I'll catch you on the next podcast. Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.